ABC Radio Australia.
For more on what New Zealand has announced over the weekend and why people travelling from Pacific countries won't be required to self-isolate for 2 weeks there, as is required from people arriving anywhere else in the world, I spoke a short time ago with New Zealand's Pacific Minister Alpito Williams-Seo.
When the announcement was made, by and large, I know our Ministry of Pacific, our Ministry of Foreign Affairs have been in contact with our missions in the Pacific region, and I myself have just recently returned from Samoa, where the level of strict border controls that have been practiced by the Pacific Island nations are of a higher, more heightened awareness than maybe other countries have. And so far, other than Tahiti, most Pacific Islands, the rest of the Pacific Island nations, do not have any positive cases at all.
The flip side of the rules that you've introduced in New Zealand is that you're also going to impose a very tough set of restrictions on people who are departing from New Zealand for Pacific nations. Can you outline those and, I guess, speak to the fact of why New Zealand has decided to take those measures? We saw, of course, back with the deadly measles outbreak in Samoa last year, that the first case of measles was believed to have been transported from New Zealand. So are these new measures in regards to coronavirus an indication that your government admitted that it needed to take more responsibility to Pacific nations?
Well, we've always known that New Zealand is sort of the gateway to the rest of the Pacific region, and particularly because of our relationship with the Realm Island countries, as well as a treaty of friendship with Samoa, and that we have a large diaspora in New Zealand who are very much connected to the populations in the Pacific Islands. So we've been in constant discussion, not just because of the coronavirus, but even prior to the measles, about how do we work together to ensure the health and well-being and the safety of Pacific peoples are maintained. And of course, the measles outbreak sort of highlighted some lessons that we've got to learn from. And so the restrictions are that in traveling to the Pacific are really the restrictions that the Pacific Island nations have put up themselves. I mean, immediately after our Prime Minister made the announcement here, Samoa government made their own announcement that people traveling to Samoa must have a medical certificate that shows that they've been tested for the coronavirus, COVID-19, and show what that result is before they will entertain allowing you to enter their country. And so this is in coordination with what the Pacific Island countries are telling us.
Now, over the weekend, Australia was pretty quick to follow New Zealand, and they announced the same measures for incoming travellers yesterday. There is one difference, though, and it is those special rules regarding Pacific travel. It has been mentioned that, and you didn't necessarily quite say that, but New Zealand clearly feels that it has a huge sense of responsibility to Pacific nations. So I just wonder, do you think that Australia perhaps is being irresponsible by not following New Zealand in this regard, particularly about the travellers it allows leaving Australia heading to Pacific nations?
Look, I couldn't possibly say what Australia's view is on that. I can only speak for what our plans are, and that is we take seriously our own responsibility because we feel quite strongly of our strong relationship, our strong historic, our genealogical connections to the people of the Pacific. And I suppose the other thing, myself as a minister of the Crown of Pacific heritage, who has very strong family links to the islands, and similarly for six other colleagues of mine who are in this government, all of us of Pacific heritage, you know, we take a special interest in what happens to the Pacific region, and our Pacific Reset gives us that platform of our constant engagement and making sure that we're aware of what's happening on the ground. And one of the things that we've undertaken to do that will help us make sure that we're protecting travel between New Zealand and the Pacific Island nation is that we're trying to saturate our message of washing hands to the local diaspora population. And not only that, we're also talking about other preventative measures, which includes the moving away from the kissing and the hugging as we would normally do, or the handshakes, and we're delivering those messages in the languages that our people here in New Zealand understand, which is not English, but your indigenous languages like Samoa, like Tonga, like Cook Islands, like Niue. And I think that's one of the advantages that we have that Australia may not so have. It's all about everybody doing their part to try and prevent the spread of virus and looking at how do we do that collectively. And if we get things right here in New Zealand, then we're also protecting the Pacific Island nations.
And same as well, if Australia gets it right too, they will be able to help protect Pacific nations. And I wondered what you make then of another development over the weekend. We saw an Australian man arrive in New Zealand after he'd been tested back at home for coronavirus. He travelled while waiting for results. And then on arrival in New Zealand, his results came back and he was positive for COVID-19. Now, your Director General of Health was pretty unhappy about this yesterday. Do you think, in your opinion, should this man have been allowed on this flight? And if it can happen between Australia and New Zealand, there's nothing to say that Australians travelling potentially to the Pacific could also be carrying the virus.
Yeah, and I saw that, and I share with our Director General of Health our disappointment that that person did go in to get tested, but didn't bother waiting around for the result to know that he had tested positive. But I have to say, having recently travelled to Samoa on a personal matter for a couple of days, I was really impressed that if that person were to enter Samoa, they would be blocked off at the airport. They would not be allowed in. And I say that because not only did I have a medical certificate that I took with me, when before landing, I was asked to fill in a form again talking about my history of travel, how I was feeling, whether I had any fever. They then asked you those questions. They checked your passport to see whether you were transiting through New Zealand or whether the travel started in New Zealand. And I thought that they did a really good job. They were at a greater heightened level of awareness about protecting their borders. I'm not sure that that's where we are in terms of our border controls with New Zealand and Australia. But of course, every day will change as we receive more updated clinical advice from our clinicians and our official advisors.